and begin the 12th chapter. We'll read from verse 26 down to verse 32. Behold, I have set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put, or give, that word put means give, the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, besides the plains of Moreh? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. I like those shalls. He says, ye shall, you shall. There's no getting around what the Lord has set before these people. No getting around. This word behold here, it means see. See, I have set, or I have placed, or I have given you before you this day a blessing and a curse. Now, the meaning of blessing, it is prosperity, which implies a bountiful gift. The land of Canaan was going to be a bountiful gift. Everything that the Lord had prepared for them in the land of Canaan was a gift, a very bountiful gift. Then we know here, blessing and a curse. A curse means to loathe or to abhor. Mom brought this out on Wednesday night. Here, Moses sets before the people, as individuals as well as a nation, two ways. Either they will be blessed or they will be cursed. Their future rested upon the choice, their choice that they made. If we talked about that last week. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, and I would like to begin with verse 11. Again, this is when we get to chapter 30, Lord willing, we will look into this more. But this again is Moses speaking. In verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou may doest it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Moses is laying before them, if you can choose this way, you can obey everything that the Lord has given me to give to you, you can obey it, you'll prosper. There'll be a blessing. If you don't, if you disobey, You totally ignore everything that the Lord has given me to give to you. You'll bear the consequences that way too. You'll reap curses. It was up to them. They had to make a choice. Now in this 27th verse, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A blessing if you obey. This is the first time we actually read the word obey in the book of Deuteronomy, though it has been applied in the previous chapters. To obey, it means to hear intelligently, often with implication of attention and obedience. From this verse, in verse 27, to the end of Deuteronomy, the word obey is used only 10 times. 10 is the number of responsibility according to ability. They had the ability to obey. It was their responsibility to obey. We will find out that they didn't. Verses 27 and 28, we talk here of the condition, if. We all know what an if is. If you obey your mother, you won't get a spanking. If you jump off the top of the slipper slide and hurt yourself, you're going to get hurt. If, that big if. Obedience to the commandments, if they obeyed, they would be blessed. And if they disobeyed, as well as turning out of the way to go to other gods, they would reap curses. To be cursed means that you'll be judged by God. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, and I would like to read verses 16 and 17. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Let's turn over back to Deuteronomy 28. We'll see some of the blessings they would have received had they obeyed God's word. Deuteronomy 28, and I would like to begin with the first verse. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice the condition. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land. Notice, it's in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And it goes on down, clear into verse 14, of the blessings that they would reap if they obeyed. In verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe them, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. We know Israel is the tail now. They are not the head of the nations now. When everything is set right, Israel comes through the fire, they'll be the head of the nations again. Now, let's look at Psalms 119. Let's bring this down to us. Psalm 119, and I would like to begin with the first verse. Blessed are the undefiled, or the new creation, in the way who walk, or I like a note here that we become spiritual pedestrians, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 17. That's how we can be blessed. Let's see how we can be cursed. Jeremiah 17, and we're going to begin with the fifth verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Then we also see another good picture of how we can be blessed. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We have a picture there of those that are blessed. How they are blessed, we have those that are cursed and why they are cursed. Let's turn to Galatians 1. Paul gives us an admonition also regarding this. Here Paul warns the saints at Galatia, and he's warning us also. We'll begin with the sixth verse. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so I say now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. This is the result of listening and heeding any other gospel than Paul's gospel. This word accursed here in the Greek, it is anathema. It means a man devoted to destruction, devoted to direct woes. When Paul's gospel is turned away from, all you're going to have is spiritual destruction. In verse 29, Moses looks forward to them actually being in the land of Canaan, and he gives them instructions of the location that these blessings and cursings were to be voiced. They were to be voiced for everyone to hear. There was not going to be any one of that nation that would not know the blessings and the cursings, and we'll see why. We'll read it here in verse 29. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt give the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Now I would like to go to Deuteronomy 27. Mount Gerizim was a mountain where the blessings were to be proclaimed. Mount Gerizim was on the south. It was a mountain on the south. Mount Ebal was a mountain on which the curses were to be voiced from. It was on the north. These were two mountains opposite each other, and there was a valley that ran between them. We're going to read here in beginning with verse 9 of Deuteronomy 27. And Moses and the priest, the Levite, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When ye are come over Jordan, there will be in Canaan. These mounts are over in Canaan. Simeon and Levi and Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse. Reuben, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites, notice who speaks, and the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. And in verses 15 to 26, these are the curses that would be pronounced from Mount Ebal. Mount Ebal, it was 3,077 feet. Mount Gerizim was 2,849 feet. So we can see Mount Ebal was much higher than Mount Gerizim. The meaning of Ebal, it means heaps of nothing. Gerizim means the cutters off. We want to note in that elevation that Ebal was much higher than Gerizim. It overshadowed Gerizim because Israel at this time was under the law. The law. Let's look at Galatians 3:10. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. They were under law, therefore the law brought cursings. They couldn't keep all the law. If you break one law, you broke them all. Now I would like to turn now to Joshua 8. We have more regarding this time. We want to note here, we're going to read Joshua 8, beginning with 30th verse, and we'll read to the 35th. And I want you to notice the position of the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God is. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God. Notice they were in the land. Joshua is now their leader in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings, and unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders, and officers, and their judges, stood on this side of the ark, and on that side of the ark, before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against the Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant or they lived among them. The location of the ark was in the valley. It was down in this valley between these two mountains. Christ, there was the center. In verse 30, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 30, we read of where this Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim are located. We read it. Are they not on the other side of Jordan? We know they're in Canaan. By the way, where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the Champaign or the Arabah, over opposite this against should be opposite Gilgal, besides the plains of Morah. Beside the plains of Morah. I would like to go back to Genesis 12 now. We know this is the call of Abram, and Abram obeyed the Lord. In Genesis 12:6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, or this is Shechem, unto the plain of Morah, or the oak of Morah. Morah here, the plains of Morah, this was near Shechem. And this was the first place Abram stopped upon entering Canaan. The meaning of Morah is instruction. The meaning of Shechem is shoulder, speaking of strength. The one leads to the other. The instruction leads to the strength. We take in the word, and it strengthens us in order for us to stand. Israel, as a nation once brought into the land, were to take up the burden of the law. They were to obey it. The law was commonly called Torah. Mom and I looked up the word Torah. It is the Hebrew word for the Pentateuch, the five books that Moses wrote, the Torah. Torah means teaching. The law was given to them as a teacher or a schoolmaster. Let's turn to Galatians again in Galatians 3. Galatians 3, and I would like to begin with verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, or our child trainer, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was given to train them, but they didn't allow it to train them. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. God was testing Israel to see if they could keep the law. They said, everything you say we will do. But he knew they couldn't. In verses 30 and 31, again, I like, for ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I have set before you this day. There was no getting around what God wanted them to do. You shall. Let's look at chapter 12. We won't go too far. There's a lot in chapter 12. Now, the first 11 chapters of Deuteronomy were a foundation. Moses laid the foundation for that second generation, for them to see the need of heeding God's word. It was the foundation. As we begin chapter 12, from chapter 12 to 26:19, Moses lays before this second generation the practical applications for life in Canaan. God had a specific way he wanted them to live in Canaan. And this is what Moses is going to be laying before this second generation, how they were to live. He's covered everything in these chapters that they would need to know. And Moses proceeds to give the detailed laws and precepts that were to govern their lives in, and we will see this in verse 1 of chapter 12, in the land, nowhere else, but in the land that God had promised them. Moses lays before the second generation the practical applications for life in Canaan. He proceeds to give detailed laws and precepts that were to govern their lives in the land of Canaan. The title to this 12th chapter is The Law of the Central Sanctuary. God is very specific on this, as we will see. We hear people to say today, oh, I don't have to go to church to worship God. I can worship him at home. I can worship him my own way. Well, that's not what the word says. The word is very specific, and we will see the number of times what God means when he sets, he chooses the place. And that's what we're going to see tonight. He chooses the place. You're to be there. The ordained place is where he wants you. Let's read verses. Well, let's look at verse 1 right now. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days ye live upon the earth. In the land, this is once they crossed Jordan, once they put their foot on Canaan's land, They were duty-bound to implicitly obey God's commandments because he had redeemed them. They were his people. This was the promise that he was carrying out to them. They were duty-bound to obey God. In verse 2, let's read verses 2 and 3. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place, out of the land of Canaan. Quite a commandment that the Lord gave them, but this is what he wanted them to do. Utterly or completely destroy. Destroy here means to lay waste. They were to lay waste all the places or the stations or the standings of the place where any of these articles that were used in idol worship, they were to lay them waste. They were not to be allowed to remain. They were to, and he gives where all these, he even told them where they were. The high mountains, the hills, and under every green tree. The high mountains and the hills speak of elevation, that these false worshipers thought that because they were elevated, they were closer to their so-called deities. And under every green tree, green, the tree was alive, that they could be hidden. They could do this worshiping. And it was filthy worship under these green trees. Oh, God won't see. Well, these were the places that were used for idol worship in this land of Canaan. And God knew it. That's why he is telling them where all these places are. Then under the trees also, they were respected and honored by those who believed that gods inhabited the trees. Sacrifices were often offered under green trees to attempt to hide the filthy practices that were carried out. Let's look in Numbers 33. One of the commentators called it licentious practices in these idol worshipings. In Numbers 33 and verse 52, again Moses instructs the second generation. In verse 51 of Numbers 33, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and pluck down all their high places. I looked up what these pictures were. These pictures were figured stones. These figured stones bore upon themselves crude carvings and signs which were understood by the priest, and then they used them to mystify or terrorize the worshipers. Then these high places, they were to, in this 52nd verse, it says, and plucked down all their high places. In Canaan, these high places had become the scenes of orgies and human sacrifices, connected with idolatrous worship of their imaginary gods. Let's look at 1 Kings 11. Solomon was responsible in this. And the worship, what they did in the worship of Chemosh and Molech was hideous. They would slay their own children and heat these statues up red hot and then place their young children in its arms. 1 Kings 11 and the 7th verse. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. This is what Solomon did. He did not allow the Lord to do what the Lord wanted to do in his life, offering them to idols. And the world got plenty of idols to. In the Bible dictionary, I looked up about idolatry, and it listed some of the things that went on in these idol worships in when they worshiped, and oh, I had to shut the book. It was terrible. Then in verse 3, notice the Lord, when he does something, he does it whole hog, you might say. He doesn't do it halfway, and this is what he's wanting them to do with all these areas, with all the idols that are in this land of Canaan. And ye shall overthrow their altars. Overthrow here, and I like this. He didn't leave any, in this word overthrow, he took it to the very limit. Overthrow means to tear off, break off, burst, draw away, lift up, pluck away, or off, pull out, or root out. They were to overthrow their altars, the altars where they offered their human sacrifices. Then they were to break their pillars, or they were to burst the statues of the idols that were worshipped. Then they were to burn the groves with fire. These groves are trees built around the altar, another sort of protection around the altar that no one could see. They were to burn those with fire because they were trees. Then, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods. This hew down, it means to break in pieces. And these graven images were idols carved out of wood or stone. Everything was man-made. Then they were to destroy the names out of them. The names, they were to lay waste, even the names or the remembrance or the memorial of these idols. God wanted them annihilated out of that land of Canaan. And notice it's out of that place, speaking of the land of Canaan. Let's look at Exodus 23:13. He did not want anything remaining that even gave them the opportunity to think of an idol. Exodus 23 and the 13th verse. Because he was a jealous God, he wanted them to worship him and nothing else beside him. And in all that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. God meant what he said. In verse 4, ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. They were not to worship as the Canaanites did. Let's look at Leviticus 18:3. God was very specific regarding this second generation, this nation that he brought up out of Egypt. Leviticus 18 and the third verse. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Canaan, as we have just read, had idols and abominations. They were not to partake of any of it, because God wanted them to completely lay everything waste, because those idols and abominations spoke of snares and subtlety of Satan. Now let's look at 1 Kings. It's sad, but Israel did not obey God. And we're going to see that they did just exactly what was being done in Canaan when they got there. We'll start with 1 Kings 14, and we'll begin with the 21st verse. 1 Kings 14:21, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images or pillars and groves on every high hill and of under every green tree. Let's turn back to Judges 2 right quick. This was the beginning of it all. Judges 2, and we'll begin with the 10th verse. And also all that generation, speaking of the second generation, were gathered under their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and provoked themselves unto them. and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Let's turn back to 2 Kings 16. God was plain with them, but they didn't listen very well. 2 Kings 16, and we'll begin with the first verse. Again, we see they're doing the very same thing that the Canaanite did when they got there. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. Let's look at chapter 17, beginning with verse 7. 2 Kings 17, and we'll begin with the 7th verse. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes or the customs of the heathen, who the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things which were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill, and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, and did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. How quickly, when God's word is not obeyed, what happens? Declension. Let's read verses 5 to 7 of Deuteronomy 12. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation, shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and your heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. The place which the Lord your God shall choose. This reference is not only, this statement, the place that the Lord God shall choose, is not only in this verse, but there are other references in Deuteronomy, and I'll give you the references so you can see how often Moses reminded the second generation that the place that they are to worship was where the Lord chose. We have it here in this verse. We also have it in Deuteronomy 14:23. In 15:20, in 16:7, in 17:8, in 18:6, 26:2, and 31:11. Each of those times, he states the place that the Lord God shall choose. This was his. This nation was his. He promised this land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, he has the right to say, you'll worship where I say. He would choose the central place for all to come to worship him. How were they to worship him? By bringing all of these burnt offerings and sacrifices, tithes, heave offerings of your hand, vows, your freewill offerings, and the first fruits of your herds and of your flocks. This is how he wanted to be worshipped, by obedience in what they brought him. I think of in the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, I think of the burnt offering. Notice that's the very first thing that is mentioned, the burnt offering. It was a voluntary offering. Nobody said you had to bring it. But that offering was totally consumed. It showed a willingness to do God's will. The burnt offering is listed first. That's the attitude that he wanted in their hearts. Wholeheartedness. Then they were to bring the peace offering, and the meal offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering. And those instructions were given to them in Leviticus. Moses, God gave those instructions to Moses to give to these people. They cannot plead ignorance. The tithe is very, very important because that belongs to the Lord. It's the tenth, the top, the cream that belongs to the Lord. The heave offering was necessary to be brought. Yes, the tenth was to give to the Levites because they had no inheritance. Well, they were to heave on their what they received. They were to lift that up to the Lord. We read in number 6 of a vow that can voluntarily be made. The vow of the Nazarite to be set apart unto God. Then we have the free will offering. Man doesn't know what a free will offering is. If they knew what a free will offering is, they wouldn't use the term. When you see these places, oh, we'll accept a free will offering. That's not correct scripturally. A free will offering is a spontaneous offering given with a willing heart. It's spontaneous. It's nothing planned. You give it. It's of yourself. We know the first fruits of the animals and of the children, they belong to the Lord too. We read that in Exodus 13:2, in Exodus 22:29-30, and 34:20. That first fruit belongs to God. And in them bringing everything that God instructed them in the order that he gave would prove their heart attitude. Now I would like to turn to Joshua 18. Joshua 18 speaks of where the tabernacle was set up. It was no longer a moving through the wilderness. The land had been conquered. And we'll just read this first verse, Joshua 18:1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. Shiloh means a place of rest. And set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. This is the place that God chose for the time being, was Shiloh. And it's wonderful. I began looking. Okay, we have this at Shiloh. We know they crossed Jordan. And I wanted to know, well, where'd they stay until they set the tabernacle up at Shiloh? Well, I found it. Let's begin in Joshua 4:19. They crossed the Jordan. No, they weren't wandering anymore, but they had to conquer the land. Joshua 4:19. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped at Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. That Joshua had the nation camp around the tabernacle here at Gilgal because that nation of Canaan, those Ites, had to be conquered so that the different tribes could claim their inheritance. Let's look over at chapter 5. They're still at Gilgal. We know this is where they were circumcised. Joshua 5:10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Let's turn over to chapter 10. They're not wandering anymore, but they're still camping. Joshua 10 and the 15th verse. We know of the battles that Joshua led of Ai, of Jericho. And notice just this verse. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him into the camp to Gilgal. Then and over in verse 43. Again, they fought more battles. In verse 43 of chapter 10. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. Now let's look at chapter 14. Notice where Caleb came. Chapter 14 and the 6th verse. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. This is where they camped until the Lord had them set the tabernacle up in Shiloh. They camped at Gilgal. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. We know Caleb asked for that mountain. It was promised to him by Moses, and he's wanting it now. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 1:3. 1 Samuel 1:3, speaking of Hannah and Peninnah and Elkanah, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship. Notice, to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Shiloh was the place that the Lord had chosen to set up where he dwelt. All these sacrifices and all these vows, they were to be at the door of the tabernacle. That's where God wanted them to come. And it was at Shiloh. We know on down the road that the ark was taken captive by the Philistines, and it had other setting places, but ultimately it was set. God's place was Jerusalem.